Blog Talk Radio.
You got it, go.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
It's the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And the rest of the scripture says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. But guess what? If nobody praises him, I'll praise him. I'll praise him for myself. I'll thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to come before you one more time and just share with you the word of God. Can I get wrong with that? I thank Dr. Hunter for the opportunity. And I'm reminded today that he has a program, Can We Talk? And I think it's a very good program. And what I thought about it today, I thought, can we ask? You know, can we ask God? A lot of people, the old folks, when I was coming up, used to say, don't ask God. You can't ask God. You just got to accept. And as I was doing my research, I just thought about it. I said, there's many times that I have read in the Bible where God was questioned. And not only was he questioned, but he did give an answer. And so I kind of went over three of those areas, and I'm going to do them backwards in order of occurrence. But what I thought about first was Habakkuk, starting with chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And Habakkuk says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou would not hear me? So apparently he had been asking the Lord a long time and waiting on an answer. So then he decided again and says, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and thou would not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. In other words, there is something going on here, Lord, and I need you to answer and I need you to rescue. And he goes on to say, why dost thou show me iniquity? You know, why are you showing me this sin and cause me to behold grievance for spoiling and violence for me? And there are they that rise up strife and contention. In other words, there are even people within my camp, let's say, or within my village that rise up against me. They have contention. They want to fight me because I'm standing as a person of God. And we experience that today. If you take a stand for righteousness, you take a stand for holiness, the Bible says that a prophet is not even welcome in his own home. So we know that inside our home or inside our village that we're going to encounter confrontations from the very people that say that they love the Lord. And on that, I say, well, there is three scriptures that the premise is that we must stand on. And that's Romans 8 and 28, which says, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So we know that if we're called according to his purpose, that it does not matter what we experience because God is going to work it for our good. And then Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Habakkuk could not see God moving. Habakkuk could not feel God moving. And Habakkuk was even afraid of the people because they was rising up against him. But again, I say the word, according to Romans 8 and 28, is that all things work together. So Habakkuk, I want you to learn that even in this here, God is going to work it out for your good. And to prove that that is true, in the second chapter of Habakkuk, starting at the second verse, and it says, and the Lord answered. and the Lord answered. So we can ask God questions, and we shall know that God is going to answer what we ask. Now, if we go back to the first chapter again, Habakkuk was crying out, "Oh, Lord, how long?" And I don't know how long he was asking God, but no matter what, he will answer. And it takes us from chapter 1 to chapter 2. Now, how much space and time had gone through from chapter 1 to chapter 2, I cannot tell you. But I can only tell you that in the first chapter, he said, "How long?" which means that he had been waiting for quite some time for an answer from the Lord. But the Lord told him in chapter 2, starting at verse 2, and he says, "And the Lord answered me." He
answered. Go ahead, Brenda.
I don't know if it's my phone or what, you know, but it's okay. Because I keep my finger where I should be. And so it says, "And the Lord answered me." So the Lord answered Habakkuk's prayer, and he said, "Write the vision." Write it. In other words, I want you to put it down so that you won't forget what I'm getting ready to tell you. He said, "Write the vision and make it plain upon tables." In other words, I don't just want you to understand, and I don't want you to just know the answer that I'm giving you. I want you to write it down, make it plain that I, the Lord, am speaking to you, that I am the Lord, and I am answering your prayer, that he may run that readeth it. So those people in your village that were fighting against you, that had the argument and strife against you, I want you to write this down so that they will see that you are a man to God and that I am with you, and that when they see this here and when they read the rest of what I'm getting ready to tell you, that they're going to know that they are in error. And it says, for the vision, for what I have allowed you to see, Habakkuk, the vision is yet for an appointed time. So again, we go to Romans. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So it says, at the appointed time, Habakkuk, at my time, not your time, but at the appointed time, but at the end of it, it shall speak. I'm going to speak, and I'm going to bring it to pass. And I'm not going to lie. And number says, God is not a man that he should lie. So he's telling Habakkuk, you can take this to the bank, what I'm getting ready to tell you. And he says, though it tarry, though it takes a while, though you've been praying for a long time, I want you to know, it shall not tarry. It is going to come to pass. It is surely going to come to pass. It is surely. So I want you to take encouragement that what I said, it don't matter who is against you, if God is for you, you got more than enough. You got more than enough. And so after God answered, then I thought about Samuel in the book of Samuel talking about Jehoshaphat. Now, we know a little bit about Jehoshaphat. He was kicked out from his family because they said he was, well, it's not that they say, he was an outside child. So, but he was a warrior. But they did not want him because he was an outside child. They didn't want to consider him as a person that God would talk to. How many of you have ever felt like you are an outcast, you know, that you are not the person that God has called you to be? But you are. And it says that, I'm sorry, in Chronicles, it said that Jehoshaphat, he feared the Lord. You know, fearing, another word is reverence. You know, we got to respect God. We got to understand that God is who he says he is. And so in this particular case, you know, sometimes we have individual prayer and sometimes we have corporate prayer. And we need to know the difference between the both of them. One individual, of course, one. You pray by yourself. Corporate prayer. You know, in church we have corporate prayer. We come together as one and we pray on one accord as they did on the day of Pentecost. But in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the 6th verse says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers. That means he was identifying who he was, not talking to the gods of the land, but he said, O Lord God of our fathers. So he's recognizing, I'm not praying to any god. I'm praying to the God of my fathers. I'm praying to the God of Abraham. And he said, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the
kingdoms? Oh, you keep falling off. I wonder what's happening.
I don't know, because I'm not moving around. I am standing still in one place. But
right here.
We're back to Jehoshaphat, and we're back to him. I'm going to cut it short just in case this happens again. But he called the people together, and the people prayed a corporate prayer, you know, because they were needing to get ready to go and battle. And Jehoshaphat reminds God that what these people that are coming to war against us are the people that you told us not to destroy. And so, God, if you told us not to destroy them, how are you allowing them to come against us? And they are mighty and great and many. And so Jehoshaphat had to call all the people together. Hey, we need to pray a corporate prayer because we need some intercession here. And again, I keep going back to all things working together for good. And so Jehoshaphat says that him in the village prayed, and he said, I say how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. In other words, sometimes we got to, when we're talking to God and we're praying, we got to remind him of what he said. Does he need our reminding? No. Do we need his reminding? Yes. And so when we tell God that he has told us and the word that we're standing on, then we can do it. And he said, would thou not judge them? But we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So when you're in distress and you're in trouble, keep your eyes. Psalms 121 says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help and my strength. It comes from the Lord. And so just skipping on to the 15th verse, God spoke back. You know, like, I love God. He will give you an answer. So God speaks back to Jehoshaphat in the 15th verse of the same chapter, and he said, hearken ye all Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. So here's the answer. Be not afraid nor dismayed. Don't be afraid of the enemy that comes against you. It says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. I don't care how many are coming against you. You got to know the word of the God says, for the battle is not yours, but it's God. So when God before you, who can be against you? And then Isaiah says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. But I like the verse before it. And it says simply this here. Behold, I have created this smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. That's why no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Because God is telling you that the enemy, that the person that created the weapon, I created him. And the material that he uses, I created the material. So can this material or this person that created this instrument do more than what I can do? God forbid. He said, no weapon that is free shall prosper, and every tongue. So with Hobeka, the people that rose against him, it says, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou, that I'm going to give you the power, thou shalt condemn. Because this is your heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. When God answers, when God speaks, it is time for you to listen. It is time for you to pay attention. It is time for you to understand that it's not about you, but it's about God. And I said I had three incidents that I wanted to bring up regarding this here. And my third know that, right?
Yeah.
I'm laughing in his face. In Psalm 37, I don't remember the exact verse. It's like the 15th or the 16th. God said he's laughing at those that are trying to destroy and not allow his word to go forth. So at any rate, the third incident has to do with David. And, of course, we know that David was a man of God. And, of course, he fell, but he got back up. And that's our example today, get back up. And so with David, him and his men had came back from a great fight. They had come back from fighting the people of Ziklag, and they had conquered them. But when they came back, consider their family are welcoming them, they come back to find out that their city had been destroyed and that their family had been taken away. And all of the men of war were very distraught. And David was distraught because they had taken his wives. And, of course, the men of war, they were angry at David. I mean, you took us to a battle and we come back and we have lost everything that we have. We ought to stone you, you know. And so David, he wept. He lifted up his voice and he wept until he had no more power to weep. I mean, he was crying his heart out. He cried his whole being out. He was so distressed that they wanted to kill him or stone him because he had taken them off the war in obedience to God. But I love God. I love him. I love him. I love him. Because verse 8 said, after he asked God, you know, what shall I do, God? What shall I do? What shall I do? And the scripture says in Proverbs that all things work together for them who are, I'm sorry, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So David did just that. He acknowledged God, and he asked for guidance. And when God answered him, he simply said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. So if you've lost anything and you don't know what to do, or like Mary had the little lamb that got lost. Come on, the little nursery rhyme. But God will tell you when and how, what to do. And in this particular case, he told David, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Not some of the things that they've taken from you, but you are to pursue, overtake, and recover all. And so, in conclusion, can you ask God questions? Can you ask God what's going on in my life? Or shall I do this or shall I do that? The word says, though it seems like the word is tarrying, wait on it, because it's surely going to come to pass. And the answer is always going to be God's answer, not man's answer. And he, and like I said, the scriptures that we have to stand on is Romans 8 and 28, that all things, not some things, all things are going to work together for our good. And that we got to have faith and believe that if God said it, it is so. And then when the enemy attacks us, we got to know that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And also, in concluding, let me share a brief testimony. This time it's not about my son. It's a personal testimony that I have regarding myself. In December of 2015, I went to spend Christmas with my sister in Michigan. The day that I was leaving, I caught a cold, or the cold caught me. In January, it was diagnosed as pneumonia. And in January, I rubbed my eye or something. I don't know. But I had to have three surgeries where they had to remove part of the cornea. And the third time that they removed it, they had to burn holes in my eye. But it would never, never heal. And so that's all of 2000 at the doctor's office. In 2017, they diagnosed me with glaucoma, severe glaucoma in one eye. So, and the other one is mild. So I made a declaration. I said, God, if you heal it, that's fine. If you don't heal it, I know that you can heal it. And so from that point on, from 2015, December, until now, October 2018, I am still dealing with my eye. But my testimony and my confession is still the same, because Habakkuk says, or he say, how long shall I wait for an answer? How long? And my answer to the enemy, to God, and whatever, I'm going to wait until my change comes. I'm going to wait because I believe that God can heal my eye, and I am not giving up on that. I'm holding on to his unchanging hand, and I would admonish you in any circumstance, in any situation that you might be going through, that you hold on to God's unchanging hand and stand on his word. That's what he wants you to do. Stand on his word. Find scriptures in the Bible that pertain to healing. Find scriptures in the Bible that pertains to things that you might be struggling with. Find the word of God. It's in there. It's in there. And if you get the word of God and stand on it and remind God that this is what he said, and believe by faith that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even ask or think. I can't think enough of the goodness of Jesus. I cannot think, and if nothing else, Beverly Crawford, if nothing else, if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way.
gave me a reasonable portion of health and strength, and gave me two eyes so that if one go out, I got the other one. I am encouraged, and I want you to be encouraged that no matter what trial or situation that you're going through, think it not strange when these fiery darts come at you. Don't get upset. Know that you serve a God that's bigger than any dart that can come your way. Know that you serve a God that says he won't put more on you than you can bear. But with every temptation, with every test, that he will give you a way to escape. It's time for us to stand on the word of God. It's time for us to come together for corporate prayer. This nation needs corporate prayer. The Bible says that if one prays and if two prays and if three prays, we can put so many in flight. We can make them run. And how many of you out there want to make the devil to get up off of your back to run? So if you get in small groups, you don't have to have 30 to 100 or 3,000 or conference like, and I love TD Jakes, but you don't need a 3,000, 5,000 conference or whatever. Come together in your home. Call some neighbors over, some life believers, and let's pray for this nation. Let's pray for these people. At the news, a policeman, and they're wondering which bullet killed them. A policeman shoots an African-American man 16 times, and they want to know which bullet killed him. What significance is which bullet? 16 times is overkill. So we got to come together for this nation. And we got to be.
She must have got a bad phone. Because we're broadcasting all the world.
If the phone could be good, this could be just same
reception. For me, a problem. So what? Brenda.
Yes, sir. I just want to say in conclusion, may the Lord bless each and every one of you and keep you is my prayer from all hurt, harm, and danger. Amen.
Amen. And the peace of God be with you. All right. Man.
Always.
Always.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm just trying to do something for Mama real quick.